Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ruth chapter 2 this morning. Ruth chapter 2. We're going to read the entire passage of Scripture here, and I am going to bring, Lord willing, a message entitled, Mothers and Daughters Under the Wings of God. Mothers and Daughters Under the Wings of God. We begin reading in verse 1 of Ruth chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. Notice that phrase. Go, my daughter. She had claimed Ruth as her own daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to the glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, O my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. That was the lunch that was given to her from Boaz. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is a near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. And she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the testimony of Naomi and Ruth. We thank you, Father, how you made provision for them, bringing them up out of the strange land of Moab, returning them back to the land of promise. Your providence and your sovereignty are so clearly defined in this passage of Scripture. And we pray, dear Father, that you would bless our mothers and our daughters that are here today. We pray that we might be able to communicate the truth of this passage to their hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In chapter 1 of Ruth, God's hand fell very heavy on Naomi and her family. There was a famine in Judah, a move to Moab, the death of her husband, the marriage of her two sons to foreign wives, the death of both of her sons, one blow after another, caused Naomi to say in chapter 1 and verse 13 and also in verse 20, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara," meaning bitterness, "for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." In fact, she is so oppressed by her circumstances in her life that she cannot see any of the signs of hope that God was bringing into her life. She knows there is a God. She knows He's Almighty and rules in all the affairs of nations and the personal affairs of men. And she knows that He has dealt bitterly with her. Her life is tragic. She was a mother who had gone through bitter experiences, but God was working all the while. If we would believe this and remember it this morning, we would not be as blind as Naomi seemed to be when God revealed Himself in His grace to her. I think that's something that we need to keep in mind this morning, because sometimes we can be blinded by our circumstances and be blinded by our sorrow of all the things that have happened to us, and we cannot see God's hand working and bringing about His perfect plan. In chapter 1, God gives to Naomi a daughter she never had before. God lifts the famine and opens a way home for Naomi. He gives to her an amazingly devoted and loving daughter to accompany her. By the way, 8 times in the book of Ruth, Ruth is referred to by Naomi as her daughter. I think that's important to keep in mind. When you study the book of Ruth, keep that relationship in mind. That was God's gift to Naomi. He gave to her the daughter that she never had. And what a blessing that was. Now, that is telling, that number of times, because that indicates to us how God had begun to work in Naomi's heart and life. God preserves a kinsman of Naomi's husband who will someday marry Ruth and preserve Naomi's line all the way to the Messiah. That's one of those sub-messages that goes throughout the book of the godly line. But Naomi sees none of this to start with. At the end of the chapter, she says to the townspeople of Bethlehem, "I went out full," this is in chapter 1, "I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again," what? Empty. But was she really empty? No, the book of Ruth goes on to tell us how full her cup was and how God was going to undertake and in His providence care for her and for Ruth as well. So Ruth and bitter Naomi at this time settle back down in Bethlehem after the famine is over with. We find that they come, and this is one of those providences of God, at what season of the year? Barley harvest. In other words, the famine is over and there is a harvest. Now, barley was the poor man's food. That's what they normally fed to the animals, but the poor people would go out and glean and they would make bread with that harvest as well. And so it's in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, at barley harvest time, God in His providence is about to teach Naomi about His providence and His care. Now, let's get into this a little bit. There's a beautiful example of a mother-daughter relationship given to us in the book of Ruth. In chapter 2, we see just what kind of a young lady Ruth was. And boys, I want you to perk up your ears here. I want you to listen for these next few moments, because this is the kind of young lady that you need to seek God's face for. You need to seek God's face for a Ruth. You don't want to get an Orpah. Orpah went back to her family. She went back to her culture. She went back to the service of her gods. She was not eager to follow Naomi back to Israel. But Ruth was. There was something that God had done in her heart that drew her back to the land of promise, and we'll see that. First of all, I want you to see Ruth's initiative to care for Naomi. We see that here in verse 2 of this passage. "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." Now notice this, please. Naomi does not have to command Ruth to go out and get food. Ruth shows initiative here, and she goes to Naomi and says, "Let me go and get food for us to eat." That's initiative. That's a word that is on every one of our report cards, by the way, at Santa Rosa Christian School. It's a big word. I learned it in the second grade. Okay? Not because I was smart, but I had a lot of check marks beside it that I was lacking in that area. So I said, I better figure out what this word means. Initiative. It means to take up responsibility on your own without being told. That's initiative. Do you have initiative here this morning, young ladies? Initiative to do the right thing? Or do you have to be told to do the right thing? Do you in your heart desire to follow God's word on your own without being told? Same thing for the young men that are here today. What a powerful lesson here. Ruth, she took up the initiative. She committed herself to Naomi with amazing devotion, and she takes the initiative to work and provide for her food. That's number one. Number two, Ruth's humility. We see that down here in verse 7. And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. In other words, the rest area to get out of the sun. She only went in there for a little while to rest. She has been at it from the morning time until the evening. Her humility. She knows how to take initiative without being presumptuous. Oh, here's a lesson. Here's a lesson. Initiative is a wonderful thing, but when initiative takes presumptuous actions, you're going to get in trouble, young ladies. Here she took initiative. I'm going to go up, and I'm going to ask him if I can glean in his field. It took character to do that. She was a Moabite. In other words, she had no rights in Israel. She was an outcast. She was a part of the group that God said, "I will wash my hands of." You go into the minor prophets and see the judgments against the Moabites because of their unruly way of dealing with the Israelites, their unkindnesses to them. She knew her place as a Moabite. But in verse 7, she reports to the servant, "Pray, let me glean and gather among the sheaves of the reapers." She's not demanding. She's not presumptuous. She's not demanding a handout. She does not presume the right to even glean. All she wants to do is gather up the leftovers after the reapers went through, and she asked permission to do that. She is like another foreign woman that comes to my mind that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs." You remember that foreign lady? To which Jesus responded by extolling her faith to the disciples that were nearby. Ruth knows how to take initiative, but she is not pushy or presumptuous, but rather meek and humble. Young men, that's a quality you need to look for in a young lady. Thirdly, Ruth's industry. This was another word that was on the report card when I was in second grade. Industry. You know what industry is? That means works hard. That's how we say it in the South. Works hard. Notice, please, verse 7, the latter part. "She hath continued from the morning until now, and she tarried only a little while in the rest house." You know, in America, we now have where if you work an 8-hour day, you're supposed to take 2 breaks. Businesses are supposed to offer to their employees the opportunities to take breaks. Now, some people take breaks all day long. And that's why they're supposed to be working, but they're moving so slow, you can't tell they're working. But Ruth was there from morning until dusk. Look at verse 17. "So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." She not only finished up gleaning in the field, but she went and she processed what she had gleaned. She didn't just bring home the stalks and everything to Naomi to do. What does she do? She prepares the wheat. She gets it ready to bring home so it's ready to be used in the baking process. What a testimony here. She's an amazing widow, is she not? Verse 7 continues, "She came and hath continued even unto the evening time." All day long she worked. She had little time for rest. She was industrious. Now, she gleaned, she measured it, she processed it, she brought it home to Naomi. And there is no doubt that the Holy Spirit of God wants young ladies to admire and follow Ruth's example. That's why it's given to us here. Do I hear an amen from the parents? Ruth is an example for our young ladies here to admire and to follow in their Christian life. She takes initiative to care for her destitute mother-in-law. She is humble, she is meek, and she does not push herself forward presumptuously. And she works hard from sunup to sundown. Young men, here is a list for you of what you should be looking for in a young lady by God's grace. Do I hear an amen from the parents? Amen. All right. Initiative, humility, industry, worthy traits that are found in this young widow, Ruth. Now, I want you to see our Lord here. We've seen Ruth. I want you to see our Lord at work here. God's merciful providence, it is all over the pages of Ruth. Just one thing after another. One thing after another, God begins to unfold and work in a special way in their hearts and lives. She happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And some people would say, wow, what a coincidence! Wow, you couldn't have wrote a better storyline than that! Was it coincidence? I think not. She happened to come? Really? God's merciful providence is clearly evident here. Ruth happened to come to Boaz's field because God is gracious and sovereign even when He seems to be silent. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. Even though God seems to be silent, she's gone through the death of her husband, Elimelech. She's gone through the deaths of her two sons. She's been stripped of everything. She comes back to the land of Israel. She has no way of regaining her property. She's been gone for 10 years. She needs a Goel, a redeemer from her family, from Elimelech's family, who's going to step up and help her. What is she going to do? God undertakes for her in a mighty way. Ruth happens to come to Boaz's field because God is gracious and good. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says this. This is a perfect reminder at this point. A man's heart deviseth his way. Naomi said, let's go back to the land of promise. Let's go back to Israel. She devised her way, but the Lord directeth his steps. What a reminder. What a reminder for the believer. God's sheltering wings. Notice this, please, in verses 10 through 12. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel. Now notice this phrase, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now here's the secret, folks. Ruth knows she's a Moabite, and from the natural point of view, she has two strikes against her. She does not resent this, though. She accepts her situation. As a non-Israelite, she does not expect any special treatment. Her response to Boaz's kindness is astonishment. I don't understand. How have I come to have favor in your sight? I'm a Moabite. How did I come to have favor? She's very different from most people today. We expect kindness and are astonished and offended if we don't get our rights. And if we give something, we're offended if they don't say thank you right back. But Ruth expresses her sense of unworthiness by falling on her face and bowing to the ground before Boaz. Proud people don't say thank you, do they? Here we see her humility. Humble people are made even more humble by being treated graciously. Grace is not intended to lift us out of lowliness. It is intended to make us grateful to God. Not on the basis of merit. She asked him, how have I found favor in thy sight? Now some people have interpreted Boaz's statement to being a works grace understanding. It's not. Boaz just gives the background behind his understanding of why he should help Ruth. He really doesn't answer her question. When Ruth asks why she is being shown grace, he does not answer in a way we would think. Because you see, grace has no conditions. He answers her question why by saying in verse 11, "It has been fully been shown unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left your mother and your father in the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Does this mean that the writer wants us to think of Ruth's love for Naomi as a work that merits Boaz's favor and kindness and goodness? Does he want us to think of grace as a kindness that we earn here? I don't think so. If Ruth had earned the favor of Boaz, then we must think of her as kind of an employee rendering service to Boaz, and that's not the picture that's given to us here. The answer is in verse 12. That's where the answer is. "The Lord recompense thy work, and the Lord give thee a full reward, under whose wings thou art come to rest." God is really the one who is rewarding Ruth for her love to Naomi as a daughter to a mother. Boaz is only the instrument of God. The picture is of God as a great winged eagle, and Ruth as a threatened little eaglet coming to find safety under the eagle's wings. That's the picture that's given to us here. The implication of verse 12 is that God will reward Ruth because she has come to rest under His wings. Now this falls right in line with what we've been dealing with on Wednesday nights, does it not? God was able to bless Ruth in a powerful way when she came to rest under His wings. And Boaz recognized that. He saw that in her, that she had come to rest under Jehovah's wings, and all he was doing was being an instrument of help as God's instrument to assist her. That God was the one that was doing the work. Now, this is a common teaching in the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 57 and verse 1 we read, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee, yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Ruth, the eagle, had come to Moab. Naomi and Ruth had rested under His wings. They came back into the land of promise, and under His wings they dwelt, and God provided them with a place to stay. God provided them with food to eat. God provided Ruth with a husband, and God provided Naomi with a near kinsman that would provide her back her heritage, her land, and everything that belonged to her husband. That is no coincidence. That's no accident, folks. That's what happens. That's what happens when we come to rest in God. And that's what we need moms and daughters to do. That's such a contrast to what we see today. Moms and daughters today in our culture are so wrapped up in the concept of purchasing material things and all that kind of stuff. I want to tell you something. It's fun to go shopping, but I want to tell you something. Are we spending as much time with our daughters resting in the Lord and teaching our young ladies to rest in the Lord? You know, our culture says for our daughters, you need to doll yourself up. You need to show as much skin as possible. You need to go out there and you make yourself attractive to the boys. Do you find that in the book of Ruth? No. You don't even find Ruth looking for a husband. And yet God in His mercy, as part of His gracious providence in her life, gives to her a remarkable man. Why? Why would God do that? Because Ruth had come to rest under His wings. That's how it happens, young ladies. And mamas, are we teaching that to our girls? Or are we teaching how the world does it? You'll get what you want. If you doll yourself up like this world does, you'll go out and you'll get this hunky man. Well, I want to tell you something. It won't be God's best. It won't be God's chosen. You've got to do it God's way. She came to rest under the wings of God, and God took care of the rest. He took care of the rest. You rest, and God takes care of the rest. Young ladies, You don't worry about, well, I'm not married yet. I don't know where I'm going to find one. Listen, you let God do the matching. You get to the business of resting under His wings. You rest under His wings, and then you'll have a Ruth chapter 3 and chapter 4. There'll be a wedding, and it'll be to God's perfect choice. It won't be yours. It won't be somebody else's. What a picture we have here. And it's not on the basis of merit. It's on the basis of grace. I want to finish up here very quickly. But we must ask how Ruth's love for Naomi and her leaving her own family relate to her seeking refuge under the shadow of the wings of God. How does this all fit together? The most likely suggestion is that Ruth was able to leave the refuge of her mother and her father in Moab because she had found a refuge under the shadow of the wings of Naomi's God, which was far superior. That's the point. She found a refuge, she found a shelter that was far superior to the one that she had back in Moab. That's our prayer for every young person, every child here, that you find your rest, not in mom and dad, though that be a wonderful home to grow up in, but you need to find your rest in Jesus Christ. And you find that rest not on the basis of works, but on the basis of what? Grace. That's the picture that we find here, so clearly given to us. The eagle moved toward Naomi, and in order to keep enjoying the refuge of God's wings, Ruth moves too and commits herself to care for Naomi as God cares for her. What a beautiful picture. So the relationship between taking refuge under God's wings on the one hand and leaving home to care for Naomi on the other hand is being under God's wings, enabling her to forsake her human refuge and give herself in love to Naomi to care under God's supernatural refuge. That's the picture. Leaving home and loving Naomi are the result and evidence of taking refuge in God. That's why Orpah couldn't do it. Have you ever wondered why Orpah went back? They had been married at the same time, Ruth and Orpah, to those two boys. Both of them had died. They had stayed with Naomi all the way up to the time that Naomi says, I'm going to go back to the land. But Orpah went back. Why? Because she did not find her rest in the everlasting wings of God. She couldn't find her rest there. So she went back to her natural rest. I want you to see, thirdly, Naomi, a mother's view of God's sovereignty. Because this is the third track. We see Ruth, we see God's providence, and then we see Naomi learning in this instance. Boaz gives Ruth all she can eat for lunch in verse 14. She works until sundown. She returns to Naomi and gives her leftovers from lunch and all the grain to her in verses 17 to the end of the chapter. She tells her what happens with Boaz. And in verse 20, Naomi's theology of God's sovereignty serves her well. She comes back to true understanding here when she says, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi sees. It's all coming together for her now. She understands. God has brought Ruth to Boaz, and Boaz is the Goel. He's the Redeemer. He's from the line of Elimelech. I see this now, God's providence and His sovereignty working in my behalf. For He has shown kindness to the living and to the dead. Who has shown kindness? Was He referring to Boaz? Was she referring to him? No. She's referring to Boaz of the Lord. She sees the Lord's hand here. I think the kindness she refers to is that of the Lord's. Boaz had just operated as God's instrument of kindness to Ruth and Naomi and to Naomi's dead husband and sons. The Lord's kindness has not forsaken the living. Who are the living? Naomi and Ruth, mother and daughter. And He has not forsaken the dead. Who is that? Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. God was still working even though they were dead. It was the Lord who stopped the famine. It was the Lord who bound Ruth to Naomi in love. It was the Lord who drew them together back to the land of promise. It was the Lord who caused Ruth to happen upon Boaz's field. It was the Lord who moved Boaz to act as the Goel, the near kinsman to redeem back to Naomi what belonged to Elimelech. The light of God's love has finally broken through with Naomi to see her great God and to reject her bitterness. You read the last part of chapter 4 and you see the unfolding of God's plan. God gives us a peek into the future, seeing that David comes down, he's in the line, and then later on the Messiah would come. And so, I ask all of our mothers and daughters that are here that we confess our unworthiness and take our refuge under the wings of God. Just like Ruth and just like Naomi came to understand that God is the one that works. We need to rest, moms. Your daughters are precious to you. You need to rest in God and let your daughters see that. Let them see in you that you're resting in Jehovah. You're resting under His wings. And that you want God's best for them for the future. Whether it be a husband or whether it be something else, their employment or where they go to school. You set the tone in your home, moms, for your daughters. That they might learn to rest as Ruth did. And as Naomi came to do. And see how God unfolds His blessing in their lives. This is an unbelievable, wonderful story, is it not? And it all goes back to the Heavenly Father, in whom they had come to rest under the shadow of His wings. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the testimony of Ruth chapter 2. And Lord, as we honor our mothers and our young ladies here today, we pray that they might come to rest under the shadow of Your wings. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might see young people, young ladies, that will go out and serve Thee with their whole heart as moms, as teachers, missionaries, whatever You call them to do, Father. We pray that they would be faithful and that they might rest underneath the shadow of Your wings. What a testimony we find here. And we pray, dear Lord, that it might be true of our moms and daughters here today. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.